come our way, we try to solve problems, of course, don't we? It's natural. We have to. But did you know? Well, I guess you know. There is a worldly way of doing it, and there's a biblical way of doing it. Worldly patterns of responding to trouble and problems, which I normally fall into, is to ignore it. When you ignore the problem, it's still there, isn't it? Or do you hide from that problem? But when you hide, guess what? It's going to show up just like those, what do you call those things that you pop it? Or you can run away from a problem, but guess what? It's going to find you. It's running after you. Or you can face it face on, but foolishly, but it just gets more complicated. You see, the question is, when trouble comes our way, how should we deal with it? Where should we turn to? And that's what I hope we will learn from the Word of God today. You know, in the earthly life of life and ministry of Jesus, that's about 2,000 years ago. I'd like us to think about where his disciples were and how they were thinking. Can you imagine the disciples who were walking with Jesus at that time? We're witnessing and experiencing the awe and wonder of following the Messiah, the Savior. Who have they've been waiting for? Has arrived. And can you imagine if you put yourself as one of the disciples? Let's say you were number 13, okay? If you were there, you were actually able to see firsthand the miracles happening right before your eyes. You were able to hear the voice of Jesus, his words, his teachings, what we see as red letters in some of this. You're able to hear that. Isn't that amazing? If you were disciple 13, let's say. More than all that was how the disciples must have felt that they were so relieved at the thought that since the Messiah has now come, all their troubles will be wiped away. Right? Messiah means what? Savior. Done. Mic drop. Done. He's come. No more trouble. He's here in the flesh with me. But guess what? It's interesting. At the height of Jesus' ministry comes what seems to be a reality check for his disciples. It's kind of like a spoiler alert. And what is to believe to be Jesus' last sermon to his disciples before his arrest, it starts really with the book of John in 14, but we're taking it right at 16, John 16. Jesus begins to warn his disciples that he will soon be leaving them. And this made no sense to them. Because in the disciples' limited understanding, Jesus still had so much more people to heal, so much more people to save, so much more people to teach. And so shortly before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. And this is what was read earlier. It says, "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You, this, will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me," that's Jesus, in Jesus, "you may have" what? "Peace. In this world, you will have" what? "In this world, you will have trouble." It says tribulation. "But take heart. I," that's Jesus, "have" what? "Overcome the world." It's interesting that Jesus clearly tells his disciples in verse 33 that in this world, you will have trouble or tribulations, making it very clear that challenges and trials and tribulations will come our way. It is not if, it's when. And it's not one time, It's going to be, I don't know how many times. And so my message today is what should we do? How should we respond when, not if, but when trouble comes our way? And I often wondered why you and I, when trouble comes our way, we actually try to block it, don't we? Or we try to avoid it. That when the trial and challenge will somehow, we think it'll hit everyone else but me. Right? And so as a result, when trouble comes our way, it surprises us. Why does every trouble surprise us? And we find ourselves totally unprepared to deal with it. You think about that? I've been getting so much of it. I had to deal with it. Well, as you know, in my case, there's been many trials and tribulations. But the last big one that I can remember, of course, is that when 20 years ago, we left for Japan from this church. And I started thinking, okay, God, you know, we've dedicated our lives to serving you as missionaries to the Japanese for many years. And yes, we have trouble come, but for about 17 years now, we've been on the field. Life and ministry was going well. Our three children, Annika and Luke, were already in the U.S., and we had Victoria left. She was a junior high school in Japan still. And Bola and I were so looking forward to continue ministry and life in Japan as empty nesters. For you who are going to be empty nesters, our empty nesters, we couldn't wait. We were excited. There's more ministry to do. Much more life as a couple. We were both healthy and active in our lifestyle, but about 3 years ago, Bola started feeling ill, and she got sick. And almost without notice, Bola was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer. Many of you know that. And given the prognosis, it was going to be a challenging journey. And so this challenge took me personally by surprise. I thought we were almost immortal. 17 years of great ministry in Japan. Nothing was going to happen. Don't we sometimes think that way? Until this happened. I wasn't prepared for it. Were there times in your life, maybe a relationship, financial issue, medical issue, that just really made you think or surprised you? And what was your response to trouble that came your way? Let me tell you how I responded when this came to my way. For me, this is how I responded. I wanted to do it my way. My first response was, you know what, I can figure this out. We got the diagnosis, and so we looked for the best doctor, the best medical cure in Tokyo, and we did that, of course. And the problem was, I put my whole hope in that medical cure because I thought it was going to be done. Another response for me was fear. I was very scared, and I didn't know. You know why I was scared? You know when you get scared, you don't know the outcome. When you don't know the outcome, or you can't control the outcome, fear comes in. And I really didn't know what was going to happen to this problem. So I began to live in fear. And you know, when you live in fear, it's paralyzing, isn't it? It really gets you. The other thing was worry. Any worry words here? Oh my gosh, okay. Not too high. That's okay. I am a highly, highly worrywart. And as the problem lingered, worry and anxiety took over. Endless. You know what you think about when you worry? What if? What if? What if scenarios started to overcoming me? What will happen if Bola does not make it? How about my kids? Can I still do ministry? How about me? Who'll take care of me? See all the what ifs? Worry. My fourth response, panic. I soon figured out even the best doctors didn't have the medical cure. And so I began to panic. What am I supposed to do now? Where should I go? Who can help me? I wanted to run away from this problem, but there was nowhere to go. I don't know where you are, or have you had that type of a trouble? Do you find yourself defaulting to these responses when trouble comes your way? One or two or three? For me, it was all. The truth is, it doesn't matter how big or small the problem is. I tend to default to these worldly responses, really. Now, going back to our passage, the reality is that Jesus' disciples would have responded the same way. Upon hearing the warning from Jesus about his departure and the trouble will come their way. Can you imagine that? Jesus said, I'm leaving, you're going to be scattered, and you're going to have trouble coming your way. It's like, you got to be kidding. It's like, no way. Can you imagine what the response was? You're disciple 13, remember. You were there. Who did you see? The disciples were afraid, weren't they? They were hiding. Peter tried to stop the arrest, cut that ear of the... It's like every response. They began to panic. Some would even try to stop the arrest of Jesus. Jesus declares that to his followers, trouble will come our way. But how are we to respond when trouble comes our way? What might seem like a downer message to you today actually is going to be hopefully the most uplifting and hopefully life-changing lessons we can learn from God's Word today. The good news is that Jesus does tell us how to respond when trouble comes our way. In fact, the verse again, John 16:33, says, I have told you these things so that in me, that's in Jesus, you may have what? Peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, you know who I is? Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus tells us that we can overcome trouble. You see, remember this whole passage now. Everything was great. Messiah has come. You know, mic drop, we're done, you know. Everything's cool. And then he says, no, I'm leaving. You will be scattered. You'll have trouble. But guess what he says? I have overcome the world. In me there is peace. There is a way for us today to apply what the disciples went through and how they did this. So Jesus tells us, oh, we can overcome trouble that comes our way. In essence, Jesus was also telling the disciples not to avoid or hide from trouble and tribulations. You see that? Rather, we can embrace and welcome trouble with the following responses. And here it is. If you're taking notes, this is the good one. What should be our response? I'll give it to you now and we'll break it down. Instead of doing it my way, you want to go to the source, Jesus Christ. And if you're if you're a millennial, you can take a picture later. Instead of fear, live by faith. You see that? Fear, faith. Pick up these words. Instead of fear, live by faith and trusting in the Lord. Instead of worry, guess what that is? Learn to worship God. Amen. And instead of panic, guess what? Live in peace that passes all understanding. Now, let's just break this down a bit. For I know that you've heard some of these things before. So have I. In fact, you should have expected that I, who's a seminary degree, an ordained minister, a veteran missionary, should have reacted this way, right? Wrong. I default back all the time. But as I defaulted back, and I've had to learn to continue to do it the biblical way. And I thank God that he used the life of my dear wife, Bola, who was the one going through the pain and suffering of cancer, to help me deal with trouble that come our way and These are life lessons I've learned. It's taken me 3 years to write this message down, to share it to you. Because there's been a lot. And I hope you take this to heart. Instead of doing things my way, go to the source. This is amazing. When Bola would see my reactions of worry, fear, and panic, Bola would look me calmly in the eye and remind me. She says, "Ken, you gotta go to the source." And I thought I was going to the source already. But in reality, was that I was personally trying to fix the problem. Or I would look in the wrong places. I even thought that the answer was my partner in life. She was partly my strength and my co-minister. But Bola's words to me, and I'll never forget this. She says, when she'd see me panic or be afraid, she'd say, "Ken," she says, "don't look to me for strength. Go to the source. Jesus Christ is where I find my strength, joy, and peace, and hope." Wow, what a reminder. The answer to life's trouble is not found in me or in this world. The answer to our troubles is found in where? It's found in Christ. John 14. Remember I told you John 14 is where it starts. John 14 is kind of like the last message or he gave to his disciples. And John 14 is when he begins to tell his disciples, "I'm leaving and I'm going to go." And look at what he reads. He shares here. In John 14, reads. There we go. Thank you. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you and that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And we'll keep going. If you can push all the... Keep going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "What? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." You see where it starts, verse 1? Don't let your hearts be. Isn't it amazing? It's about being troubled. That he, in the context that he says, the answer is in me, Christ. I am the way, I am the life, and I am the truth. When trouble comes your way, don't put your trust in yourself or the world around you. Rather, believe in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, Jesus is the answer to our problems. So when trouble comes your way, our first response needs to be to go to the source, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Instead of fear, the second one, you want to learn to what? Live by faith. When problems come our way, fear sets in immediately, doesn't it? When we don't know the outcome, or when we are not certain of the results, fear quickly took over me when I found out about Bola's cancer. You see, I wanted to know the outcome now. I wanted to know the results now. I wanted to control the situation now. But really, I was living in fear because I had no control. Instead of, our response should be to live by faith. And you know all this passage very well, Hebrews 11, 11, 1, 2, and 3. If you can just pull that all out. I'll just read it. It says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Verse 2 and 3. "This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Bola would remind me that God already knew from the beginning of time her exact predicament. Just like he would know in your case that you're going to go through this trouble, through this tribulation. And God knows also the outcome and the result. And we may not have control, but God does. And that's what, guess what, faith is. Can you see that? Now, faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Kind of doesn't make sense, but it does if you know Jesus. The result is his. Our responsibility or response is to live by faith. It's our choice. We can live by fear or by faith. So when trouble comes our way, I hope you learn to live by faith. Third one, instead of worry, learn to worship. This one was kind of like a paradox. It's like they don't make sense. Another response when trouble comes our way is to worry. Like I said, you know, up to today, I'm still a worrier. I wish I were a warrior for Jesus, but I worry a lot. But we know the effects of worry and anxiety when we make it linger on, don't we? Instead, we need to learn to worship God. The effects of worry versus the effects of worship. We know what the effects of worry and anxiety is. It shows itself in the body, doesn't it? It's evident. Well, did you know that the effects of worship is very evident as well? Can you actually worship when there is trouble? What does it look like? How do we worship instead of worry? Philippians 4, again, a very well-known verse. Philippians 4, 4 through 6. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, what? Rejoice. The Lord is near. Okay. Let all your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This passage shows the evidence of someone who's worshiping, right? The attributes of someone who worships. There's joy, there's gentleness, no anxiety, prayerful, with a heart of thanksgiving. But can you actually be doing this when you're in pain or you're going through some real, yucky situation? It's hard, isn't it? But that's what it says. Should we be worshiping God only in good times or sometimes or in certain conditions? Look at this one. I just underlined what I call equally important here is to notice the qualifying absolutes that come with this passage. I didn't see this before. Look at that. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Be gentle to some. I hope you know I'm joking, right? Well, is this being taped? If this is being taped, actually it's absolute, okay? Look at that. Do not be anxious about several things. In prayer and petition with thanksgiving in some situations. Wow. Isn't that amazing? The absolutes are there. When trouble comes our way, it's really possible to worship God instead of worry. That's what I see here. When trouble comes our way, we can learn to worship God. But you know what the difference is here? What's hard? It's our choice. We're not robots. It's our will. It's up to you or I to make that choice. Are we going to worship God or not? Oops. I remember the moment I heard the devastating news about Bola's cancer's diagnosis. Obviously, my response was to worry. However, I couldn't believe the response of Bola. She chose to worship God instead. It was like, it blew me away. I was able to see the evidence of what it meant to worship God instead of worry. Bola, who in every circumstance and situation was rejoicing in the Lord, yet she was the one in pain. Was gentle and loving to all when she was not supposed to be seeing anybody. And she prayed about anything with a heart of thanksgiving when she should have been bargaining and angry with God. The result was that in spite of the problem, Bola was able to live each day here on earth to the fullest. It was the best 8 months I have seen her, and I also was able to experience. With every breath, every moment, every day, she knew it was a gift from God. In spite of her pain and suffering, Bola showed me how to live each day with pure joy and praise with a heart of thanksgiving. So when we worship God in all circumstances, we will be able to free ourselves from worry. Amen? And finally, instead of panic, guess what? You can live in peace. There is a correlation here. When we choose to worship instead of worry, we can also be assured that we don't have to panic anymore. Instead, we can live in peace that passes all understanding. Again, just when you come back to passages, we've read this so many times. But look what, Philippians 4:4-6, if you come up with this passage, again, I'll read this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It doesn't say worship, but this is evidence of worship. You see that? And then guess what? Look what it says. And the peace of God. That makes sense? Doesn't make sense. That passes all understanding. It's what will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I never saw that connection. If we choose to worship instead of worry, we will panic less because we'll have the peace of God. You see that? Isn't that amazing? The Word of God is unbelievable. It is so rich. I never spend enough time. I'll be honest with you. I wish I can spend more time in the Word of God because this is what it brings out. When we are worshiping God, we can avoid panic to take over. As a result, the lifestyle of worship is a peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace that is not found by our own might or in this world. Peace that comes from worshiping God. Well, after 5 months of chemo and a very long 7-hour surgery to remove the tumors from Bola's innards, there was actually quite a positive outlook. However, within 6 weeks, when we found out more devastating news. The cancer that had been all taken out had come back more aggressively. Bola was now diagnosed as medically inoperable in September, about 3 years ago. This time, no medical cure. My immediate response, guess what? Panic again. You should have seen my face when the doctor came in and said, this is what's happening. I was like, wow. But you know what, Bola? Bola chose to worship at that moment. Here I was panicking. Bola chose to worship and live in peace that passes all our understanding. I remember Bola talking to my kids and those that were visiting her. And she would say this. Previous one, sorry. She says, she would say this. I know where I'm going. Just make sure you're getting there too. Should tell that to my kids and to everybody. I pray I've lived well according to God's plan. I pray I die well also and show people the confidence you can have if you have Jesus as your Redeemer. He's prepared a place for me. And I'm preparing to take that first class, if you know Bola, one-way ride to glory. I'm excited. Oh my gosh. That's my wife. I couldn't believe it. Woo! I want to live like that. Today, I don't have to have cancer to be like that. To have
have that peace because she knew her hope was not really in a medical cure. Rather, her faith and hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God wanted to cure her, then it'd be so. And so look at what she said again. She says, there's going to be a miracle. My miracle is coming, whether that's here on earth or coming back. Oh, there. It says, my miracle is coming, whether it's here on earth or it's in Jesus' presence. My task is I'm trying to get ready either way. A very renowned Christian author on books about how to cope with cancer wanted to interview Bola for a new book that she was writing. It's called Peace in the Face of Cancer. The whole book is about how to deal with cancer and have the peace of God, knowing that you will have a cure and you'll get better. But in the last chapter, it says, what if there is no more medical cure? Can you still have peace? And I didn't know. I wasn't there when the interview happened. And Lynn Ibe is her name. She features Bola's story in the last chapter. If there's no more cure, you can have peace. And there are many things that were written there, but here's one. It says, you can have peace and the joy and the rest that I'm enjoying right now because Jesus is real, as Bola quoted that. So in the short span of 8 months that Bola had cancer, God taught me these lessons. And guess what? Troubles keep coming my way. Thank you. You'd think it would end? No. But now I know how to deal with it. And I hope you'll go home today knowing how to deal with trouble and tribulations coming your way. Don't run away from it. Don't hide from it. Embrace it, because God's with you. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, if you're disciple number 13, he's telling you this. I have told you, Jesus, have told you these things so that in me, that's Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. So my friends, what will be your response when trouble comes your way? And it's my prayer that the choice you will make will be, instead of doing it your way, you'll go to the source. Instead of fear, you'll learn to live by faith. Instead of worry, you'll learn to worship. Instead of panic, you'll have and live in the peace of God that passes all understanding. As you know, as our prayer and application for this message, normally Bola would come up and sing for us. But as we also know, the choir in heaven just keeps growing. Camille's there now. But we do have a great way to still give glory to God. We're going to sing When I Think About the Lord, a great tribute for us to think about the Lord. But this video version superimposes two recordings, and one of it was during her last concert, where we were in a jazz club with 170 people just 1 month before she graduated to glory. And the other was in 2009 with the 400 Japanese singing. For I know there will be many Japanese there rejoicing with us someday. So as you see the lyrics on there, let's stand up and sing along and give glory to God as when you think about the Lord. So here we go.
How you saved me, how you raised me, how you filled me with this Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the dust.
Privilege to hear a living testimony that is vibrant and real. It meets us right where we are. Thank you for the reality that is in Christ. We thank you for the trouble that comes our way, but we thank you right now for the trouble that came upon Jesus Christ. Although he himself was sinless, perfect in every way, had done no wrong, no deceit in his mouth, And yet he was willing to take the trouble, which was our sin, my sin, and take it upon his perfect sinless body in person, and allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And there he endured the full wrath of his heavenly Father, who poured out his wrath on the sin of the world, until it was over, till it was finished. And he didn't wince. He didn't come down. He stayed there, and he suffered gladly and willingly for your glory and for our highest good. So, Lord, we thank you for the testimony of the saints down through the ages who have placed their faith in Christ. And we pray that today that we will be a people who lean in harder to the source that Ken spoke about, of him, and that you go before us and behind us and hem us in your great, wonderful hand. Teach us, Lord, what it is to trust you and to worship you in the midst of it all. May we be a worshiping people. May we choose to worship you. Thank you, Lord. Be with us the rest of this day. Many of us will come back again today in a few hours and seek to worship you in the midst of another trouble in the same family as in Ken. And help us to prepare for that. And for those who will be going home, and may the word not return void. Help us to see our desperate need for a Savior, for Christ. That he's not a way, he's the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the light of the world, the bread of life, the good shepherd, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's everything. Thank you that he gave everything so that we may have life. Not just abundant life here that we spoke of, but life eternal when this short life is over. Lord, please press upon these truths upon every heart in this place this morning, that each one of us will consider our place before you for time and for eternity. We give you thanks. Thank you that we can actually shout hallelujah as we wait upon the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray with much thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Amen.